opportunity. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. You have your Bibles this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. Try our best to give you what's on our heart for the service today. Desire your prayers that the Lord will help us. I don't know exactly what all we'll say. I know we was in Kentucky the last couple of days and got up, I guess it was yesterday morning, and nobody else in the house was up yet. Sat there at the table in the dining room, looked out the window across the open field. The sun was coming up, and just like the Lord put this in my heart, as real as about any other time I've ever had it. And I don't know what all I'll say, but I want to be mindful of Him. Trust that the Lord will help us and you'd pray for us this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to stand, we'll do so out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture, no doubt, in your hearing. We'll read a few verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we know what's taking place. We know the story in the first two chapters about Hannah and her desire to have a child. And the Lord hears Hannah's prayer, gives her a son by the name of Samuel. She brings him and she prayed and said if the Lord would give her a son, she would give him back to him all the days of his life. And so she does so. She brings him to Eli, the priest, to the temple, gives him to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. He said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. And it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We've already made mention of what's brought us to this place. No doubt all of us are somewhat familiar with the story about Hannah and her child and how she gave him to the Lord, and he became one of the greatest prophets that the nation of Israel had ever seen. Many things God did with this man by the name of Samuel. But here he is in his childhood, and he's been given to the Lord, has had a promise that she would. And he's in the temple. Mom and daddy have went home. He's alone with the man of God, with Eli the priest, for that time. And the Bible says that while he's there, the Lord speaks to Samuel. Now, we have to understand about the day in which Samuel's living. Verse number 1 lets us into what the days are like. And like I said, I don't know what all will say or how it'll go, but I'm just trying to mind God this morning. It lets us in, and as the Lord began to work in my heart, we ought to be able to identify with everything that was going on in Samuel's day and how it was then, because it's exactly how it is today. The Bible said that the word of the Lord in verse number 1 was precious in those days. Now that is not the written word that we're holding in our hand this morning, but that is for God to speak to a man was precious in those days. That word precious has many, many meanings in the Word of God, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 3 and verse number 1, it's translated rare. It was a rare thing for a man to hear the voice of God in Samuel's day. Now I understand in Samuel's day it was different than it is in our day, and by the way, don't fall out with me, but God can do anything that He wants to do, however He wants to do. If He chooses to speak in an audible voice to us, He can do so. I don't find any restraints or limitations to God whatsoever in the Word of God. It didn't change just because of the New Testament age, didn't change or limit the ability of God. But I understand that in Samuel's day, what he was hearing was an audible voice. And in our day, it's not so much audible, but if God ever speaks to you and you hear Him, it couldn't be any more real if it had been audible to your ears. But we are living in a day where it has become a rare thing for a man or a woman, a boy or a girl to hear the voice of God in our day. It's no coincidence, and to be honest with you, if you want to know the honesty of my heart, I forgot all about that Brother Tim was going to finish in Revelation chapter 3. But I'm glad God knows that it's just all kind of tying together, that He said, if any man hear my voice, that says that even though it's a rare thing in the Laodicean age that he's standing, and it's a rare thing that any man will hear, it is still a possibility for a man, a woman to hear the voice of God. I'm going to tell you how it is in our day. Samuel heard the voice of God, and he went running to Eli. He said, "You called me, here I am." Eli said, "I didn't call you." Samuel was the child. He was the young generation. He did not know the voice of God. He had never heard the voice of God. And we are raising a generation that does not know what it is to hear the voice of God. They don't know what it is. And it's not their fault that they don't know His voice. But I'm going to tell you, worse than that, it's not that Samuel was a child and he didn't know the voice of God, but it was that Eli was the old generation, and it had been so long since he had heard from God, it didn't even enter into his mind that it was God that was speaking to the child. He said, "Oh, I didn't call you. You're just hearing things. Lay down and go back to sleep." And it took 3 times for Samuel coming, for it to even enter into Eli's mind. Maybe God speaking to the child. We're raising a generation of children that don't know about the voice of God. But when they do hear the voice of God, and they try their best to respond, I've heard messages preached, and it is right. I've heard older preachers say that we're raising a generation that wants to show the Spirit, that wants to worship, that wants to follow God, but they don't know how. When they do hear, the older generation mocks at them and says they don't know what they're doing.
I'd rather, now you hear me well this morning. I understand the Bible said everything ought to be done decently and in order. I understand there's an order to worshiping God. I understand Jesus told that woman at the well that day that the Father seeketh such to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm not talking about this off-the-wall stuff that's going on in the name of religion, in the name of worship, that has nothing to do with God. But I'd rather some young person that don't even really know what to say or how to do it, if they're being led by the Spirit to stand and make an attempt to worship God, we ought not to discourage them. We ought to get in a place where we can hear His voice too. It was precious. It was rare in those days. The Bible said more about it. It said there was no open vision. That word open means to bust through or to break through. It gives the type or the picture, the illustration of water being restrained by a dam that won't allow it to go over or come through. What it meant was there was something in Samuel's day and in Eli's day that was standing in the way of God speaking to His people. And I want to say in our day, in this Laodicean age, there's some things that are standing in the way of God speaking to us. Not that He's not speaking, but we're in such a shape we cannot hear His voice. And that was the first stipulation. If any man hear my voice, that you can't open the door until you hear His voice. He can't come in until you hear His voice. And so if we can't get in the shape that we can hear His voice, the door will never get open and He'll never come in. It's no coincidence, and I'm not trying to belittle us. I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm saying we're going to have to deal with the realities of our day. And it's no coincidence that Amos said it'd be in the last days that God would send a famine, not of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And we're living in that famine. We're having casualty after casualty after casualty that's dying in the famine because we have not heard from God like we ought to. I'm going to tell you the reason we want to judge people, talk bad about people, point out, I tell you what we do. We're in the shape we're in. I'm talking about the church of God as a whole. I'm talking about the true church. We're in the shape we're in. And the reason we want to focus on what this modernistic crowd's doing and all this other stuff is because it makes us feel better about our situation. And if we can measure up and measure above what the church up the road or down the road's doing, then we feel pretty good about ourselves. But the measure is, can we hear His voice? And we hear Him speak. Now I'm going to tell you why all these other movements have caught on. Why these mega churches are booming that are not preaching the gospel. They aren't. The Bible said, Paul told the church at Galatia, somebody's come along and preached another gospel, which is not another. They can claim it's the gospel all they want to, but it ain't the gospel. But the reason they're booming is because we failed to hear from God, and somebody's going somewhere for something. They can see it's within themselves. That's why folks are leaving our old-fashioned independent churches. Now, I'm not focused on all of that, but I'm going to say that's why they're leaving the real deal. That's why they're leaving this old-time way, is because we have failed to get in the shape and in the place where we can hear the Word of God. And so I got up yesterday morning. I don't know how many of you will understand. There are some days, not that I feel like any of it's ever any good, but there are some days that the message or the thought that God puts on my heart feels pretty good. And then there are times I feel like it's strange. And I feel this morning like it's strange. And I don't know what God's wanting to do besides the fact that He's wanting to get us in the place that we can hear His voice. And so I want to ask you the question this morning. Is this as real as anything? I'm not trying to preach out of the modernistic world or out of what goes on in secular society. And I know there's a song out there entitled this, but that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. But God woke me up on Saturday morning, yesterday morning, and they're sitting there at the table. He said, I want you to ask them, do you hear what I hear? And so I want to preach to you this morning, do you hear what I hear? That's what Samuel really, if you could get it in the language, he went to Eli and he said, are you hearing what I'm hearing? I heard something. I think you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. He said, well, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what I hear? You hear the message that I'm hearing in our day? Oh, there's something to be heard. God's not just wasting breath. God's not just trying to come up with something or shooting from the hip. He's got something He wants us to hear. Not just us. He's got a message He wants every man and every woman to hear. And the message that God spoke to Samuel about, if you boil it down, it's the same message that He's delivered time and time and time again. He delivered the same message to Noah. He delivered the same message to Moses, for Moses to deliver to Pharaoh, and Noah to deliver to the people. And now He's delivering it to Samuel, for Samuel to deliver it to Eli and to the people of God. And God has the same message for us today. But we're going to have to get in a place where we can hear His voice. Something standing in the way. Is it that there's sin in the way? It was so in Eli's day. There was sin in the way. It was that dam that was keeping the waters from being able to flow. It was that holdback. It was like that day the Bible said when Isaac went looking for the wells that Abraham his father digged. And the Bible said the Philistines had stopped them with earth. They couldn't spring up like they once had. So Isaac digged them again. We need some men and women that'll dig the well again. We need some men and women that'll take out of the way whatever it is that stands in the way all the time in the Word of God. There's type after type, picture after picture of things that are standing in the way of God's people having what we ought to have. They came to Nehemiah that day. And while I'm there, let me back up just a minute and say that Isaac didn't go and take it upon himself to dig any new wells. He knew the old wells had proven themselves. He just had to get them cleaned out so they could do what they had always done. We don't need some new wells. Don't need anybody going out and digging new wells. We just need somebody to get it on themselves, to get their shovel, to get the mattock, and to bust the rocks and dig the dirt and let the old well spring again. It'll do what it's always done. They come to Nehemiah that day. God had put it in the heart of Nehemiah to build the wall again. And the Bible said they come to him and they said the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed and there's much rubbish and we can't build the wall. In other words, they said there's so much trash and the stones are laying in the trash. We can't get rid of the trash. But Nehemiah said if anything's going to be done, we're going to have to deal with the rubbish and revive the stones. The same stones can be built again. A wall of protection around the people of God. Somebody, and they did build the wall, but somewhere along the line, somebody had to hear from God. Nehemiah heard from God, and so the wall got built. Noah heard from God, and so the ark got built. Moses heard from God, and so there's deliverance for the people of God. Are you catching on to what I'm saying? It might just have been one that heard, but if the one that hears will make move on what he's heard or what she's heard, there's no telling what God can do. There's a message. God spoke to Samuel. I want to say in our day, there's a message God's trying to speak through us and to us and to carry the message to somebody else and do a work that He wants to be done. Can we hear His voice? Can you hear what He's saying? Have you heard lately? How rare is it for you to hear the voice of God? How rare is it in 2019? And if time lasts, soon to be 2020, how rare is it for the people of God to hear the Word of God? I'm not talking about coming and hearing these words read, though they are the Word of God and they will do what God said they would do. But I'm talking about when it's just you and God. And it may be in this assembly that God is able to take and eliminate everybody else. And it, even though we're all gathered together, He can boil it down to just you and Him. And that's what I'm interested in, not a collective hearing, but I'm interested this morning, when's the last time you heard from God? And when you heard, what'd you do about it? What did you do with it? Oh, there are times that what we hear from God, we don't want to do anything with it. Samuel heard from God, and it was a prophecy concerning Eli, the man of God in his house, and Samuel did not want to tell it. But it was his calling, was his place, was his responsibility. It became his duty, for he had heard the Word of God. There's a word, but there are things that are standing in our way. Maybe sin's in the way. I don't know. That's between you and God. Maybe there's something that stopped up the well. Maybe it's not springing up. I remember over there in the Old Testament when Moses dug the well and the elders dug the well. As they were digging, they sung to the well. I wonder when the last time you sung to your well. Down deep on the end, the Bible said Jesus told that woman, the water that I'll give you is not just a drink, but it'll be in you a well of water springing up to everlasting life. You know what them elders and Moses sung to the well as they were digging? Spring up, oh well. That's what they sung. I don't know how the beat went. I don't know how it sounded. I'm sure it probably sounded beautiful ringing across the countryside as the elders of the people who were digging in the earth and crying for God to spring it up again. Is there something standing in the way of your well? It hadn't sprung up in a while. It hadn't bubbled up in a while. It hadn't surged with force in a while in your soul. Can you hear the voice of God? Do you hear what I hear? Maybe there's satisfaction standing in your way. Not just sin. We get on sin in our day among the people of God, and everybody wants to pull up the brakes like they're afraid of what everybody might think of them. I wouldn't worry about what people thought of me. If I was in the shape I couldn't hear the voice of God, I'd get it out of the way so I could. Amen. Maybe it's not big old sins of going out and doing things that you ought not to do. Maybe there's just an air of satisfaction inside of you. And you don't have what you could have because you're satisfied with what you don't have. You say that ain't in this story. Oh, I beg to differ. You go back to chapter number 1, Hannah's a fretting. Hannah's a wringing her hands. Hannah's worrying and laying awake of the night. And every time she turns around, she can't have a baby. And Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, she's having them left and right. The Bible said every time she did, she provoked her sore. The Bible said she made her fret, made her jealous, made her envious, made her worried, made her try to figure out what was wrong with her. And the husband, Elkanah, saw it and he tried to satisfy Hannah. He said, now wait a minute. I don't know a lot about him, just what the scriptures say. But he sounds like a man of probably wealth and a man of high esteem and probably very well respected in the community. And he went to Hannah, you go home and read it. He said, now I've been good to you. Given the Bible said that he, when they went up, he would give Peninnah and her children. But the Bible said to Hannah, he would give a worthy portion. What that means is he would give Hannah more than the law required for him to give because he knew the heart of Hannah. All she wanted was a child, but he got to go and say, now wait a minute, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Why can't you just be satisfied with having me? Ain't that enough? That's what he's saying. But thank God for a woman that wasn't satisfied until she had what she wanted. But there's been a lot of people and a lot of women and a lot of men that have went into a church somewhere, and deep down on the inside of them, they know they're not satisfied. But some man stood behind the pulpit and tried to cover up for what they don't have and said, just be satisfied with what we have. Don't focus on what's missing. Focus on what we have. I understand in its place, that's right. We ought not focus on how many's here or how many's not here. If our eyes are on the right things, that's fine. But when it is somebody standing and realizing there's no power, realizing the glory's gone, and trying to bring in programs and games and gimmicks and all this stuff, and trying to get people to be satisfied with that instead of the power of God, there's a problem. All too long in our church age, we've been too satisfied. Ain't it amazing? I don't remember who said it, but it hadn't been that long ago, and it's exactly right that we're satisfied with nothing except our spiritual state. Think about it. We want bigger and better of everything else except when it comes to God. We are never satisfied with anything except when it comes to the things of God. We're satisfied there. Maybe that's, I believe that's probably standing, I'd probably be safe to say that's probably standing in the way of more people than sin is of hearing the word of the Lord. Maybe it's selfishness that's standing in the way. Eli wouldn't deal with his sons even though he knew what they were doing was wrong. And the Lord saw it. Don't think he didn't. He told Eli, you have honored your sons above me. And I'm going to tell you what, we're living in the most, and I'm not focused on stuff and all of that, even though that ties in here. But we're living in the most selfish society that if it involves us or our family, the preacher better not preach on it. And God better not put his finger on it because it's not them, it's us at that time. And Eli wouldn't do anything about it. There's no wonder Eli hadn't heard the voice of God. What is it that's standing in our way? Do you hear his voice? He said in Hebrews chapter 3, today, if you'll hear his voice. And there's an if in that one too. Not that it's a given, but it's a possibility that you can hear his voice. And in that chapter, he's dealing with unbelief and a hardened heart. He said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation and temptation in the wilderness when they would not hear the voice of God. We can see what it cost them. And if we'd look around and take good inventory, we ought to be able to see what it's costing us to not hear the voice of God. But I said there's a message, and there was. And the message the Lord wants us to hear is the same message it's always been. And see, it's the same for us all, for the saint and for the sinner. It's to strike fear in the heart of the sinner, and it's to strike inventory and contemplation in the heart of the saint. Consider our ways. His word to Samuel, his message first of all was his works. He said in verse number 11, I will do a thing. But we're living in a day where the works of God have been so diminished. They try to downplay it all. But
God wants us to know what He's done and what He's going to do. The Bible speaks of creation. Does not even nature itself teach us the works of God? But we're living in a day where the voice of science and the voice of reason and the voice of man is heard above the voice of God. And so there was a message about His works. There was a message about His wonders. He said, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That word tingle means literally to shake, to strike fear, to burn. There are wonders. I mean, I know it's hard to separate His works from His wonders, but He told Moses when he walked down to Egypt, He said, with this rod, you'll do My wonders. And even Pharaoh wouldn't hear, even based on the wonders of God. I'm telling you, we're in no different shape today in our day. I wonder and look around at what people see and what God has done and how they could not believe. But they can't hear. Jesus said, if any man hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Tells me that you can have an ear to hear, but not hear. Ain't that what it says to you? And so it's not just about His works. It's not just about His wonders. But the reality of the message is this. His wrath is coming. And I'm going to tell you one of the most humbling, fearful statements made in this chapter is in verse number 12. He said, speaking of His wrath and judgment against Eli, when I begin, I will also make an end. He said, once My wrath falls, there's no stopping it until it's done. And He said in verse number 13, for I have told him I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Romans chapter 1 said that there'd be a generation, and we're in it, that would know the judgment of God and know that God was against their sin, and yet knowing the judgment, they would have pleasure in doing what they are doing. I'm going to tell you when this, you say, what? That phrase don't mean too much to me. I mean, it just don't mean much. When I begin, I'll make an end. Well, maybe it would mean more to you if we went to Genesis chapter 6 when God spoke to Noah, and we take about that flood and how God destroyed everything, and He said, the end of all flesh is come before Me. He said, Noah, wrath's coming, and when I begin, I'll make an end. And I'm telling you, there are men and women, boys and girls that don't know anything about the wrath of God. And we are so satisfied, we're so caught up in everything else, we've got sin in our life that we have forgotten what it's like to hear about the wrath of God. And it's just like that song he talked about this morning that said, the burden for sinners, we've lost it somehow. I'm going to tell you how we've not heard the voice of God. We have not heard, oh, we've heard the preacher quote the Bible, but we've not heard it from God. But there'll come a day when He will say, depart from Me, ye that work iniquity, into outer darkness. That there will come a day that the Bible said He'll gather the wheat into His barn, but He'll burn the tares with unquenchable fire. And I'm going to tell you something about that day of judgment. When He begins, He will make an end. This same message, you say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, you go to Acts chapter 17. Paul steps off the boat at Athens, Greece, walks up to Mars Hill, and he preaches this same message to those people there.
He preaches the works of God, that He is the Creator. He preaches the wonders of God, that He's Lord in heaven above and in earth beneath. And He said there's a time that He would have winked at your ignorance. But He said now He's commanded all men everywhere to repent.
For He hath ordained a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man who He hath ordained, Christ. And what Paul was telling them was, you better hear His voice. He said, you're here worshiping an unknown God whom you don't know and you've never heard. But He said, hear His voice and repent, for wrath is coming. And I'm going to tell you something here this morning. If you're a sinner, you better hear His voice. Don't harden your heart. Don't turn Him away. That old writer of the song got it right when they said, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Oh sinner, harden not your heart. Be saved tonight if you hear His voice. If you hear His voice. Child of God, when's the last time you heard His voice? When's the last time that you and I, including myself in this, if I was to be honest, and they can judge me if they want to, and you can, but I don't believe you will. When He woke me up Saturday morning, been a few days since I'd heard His voice like that. And inside of me, I wrestled and struggled because I knew how serious a business this was to hear His voice. For the sinner, it means heaven or hell, life or death. He said, my sheep know my voice. I calleth them, not some other. There's no other way. He said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Any man that comes in another way is a thief and a robber. He said, every man that heareth my voice hath life. Will you hear His voice? And then for us as the people of God, the only way we can have fellowship, the only way that we can have His presence, the only way to have His power is to hear His voice. He's standing at the door and He's a knocking, but He ain't just knocking, He's calling, let me in, let me in. That's what He said. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, that the knock is not the voice. He's knocking, but He's a calling, let me in. Will you hear His voice? Will you open the door? Will you let Him in? Do you hear what I hear? I'm not up here saying that I'm some super spiritual Christian, but I'm telling you what I've heard yesterday and last night and this morning from heaven, and I want to know, do you hear what I hear? Do you hear what He's trying to say? Do you hear His voice? Do you want Him in? Don't harden your heart. Don't walk away. Don't turn a deaf ear. You say, but there's too much between me and the door. Get rid of it. Kick it out of the way. Push it over. Do whatever you got to do to get to the door and let Him in. If you hear His voice, if you hear His voice, do you hear what I hear as we stand all over?